Father, Lord, we thank you for another time of fellowship. And as we look into the Word of God, we declare that the entrance of God's Word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We ask that light, Lord, that it will shine, for that light to shine into our hearts this morning and give us understanding and energize us to activate and tap into these kinds of favor and blessings that we see in the stories. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So I'll go quickly through the stories that we went through yesterday. I can't really and will not try to preach the whole thing again. Can't do that because I really don't write down my sermons. So you can't duplicate it. But I'll mention I do write down the notes and the names of the characters that we're going to talk about so that I can remember to talk about them. So we'll go through the ones we talked about briefly yesterday. Again, if you are just joining us, the reason for, sort of the repeat is because we missed setting on the, turning on the replay feature for yesterday. So yesterday's room was not there. But I'm going to start going through a quick review of these stories we looked at yesterday. Samuel was one of them. He obtained favor with both the Lord and with men. And I will give the scriptures for Samuel chapter 2 and 26. Our prayer is that we also may obtain good favor both with God and men. Then we talked about David and many scriptures that were given for David. I hope we'll get someone to help us post the scriptures. I don't think we even had any posting yesterday, although the room was lost. Anyway, 1 Samuel chapter 13 and 14, Psalms 18 verses 6 through 19 show the kind of favor that God had with David, how he answered his prayer in a way hardly that we've seen from anybody else. Talked about Psalm 89. How God said he selected David, put his anointing oil on him, and caused him to become his firstborn, and he'll sit upon his throne as well. We talked about the mercies of David. Acts chapter 7, verse 46, Stephen in his prayer, message, talked about these blessings of David. Also, even Paul talked about it in Acts 13 and 22. And our prayer is that we shall obtain the sure mercies of David. Just like God hand-selected David, may he also hand-select us for his blessings. Isaiah 54 and verse 10 talks about the sure mercies of David. We went on to talk about Mephibosheth in 2 Samuel chapter 9. The favor of God that came to him through the king, how that suddenly he was promoted and brought to sit with the king's sons. And a lot of things, blessings came to him, all because of what his father, Jonathan, had done, which is what David said. I want to bless someone in the house of Saul because of Jonathan. And we see that the Lord actually blessed this man, Mephibosheth, so mightily. And we pray, and I pray today that the good that you do, that even your children later on will reap them. Hallelujah. This Mephibosheth man reaped the blessings because of what his father Jonathan had done. And may the Lord cause our children to obtain favor in their generation. Sit with princes because of your good works that you have done. Praise the Lord. We talked about Elijah. Elijah in 1 Kings 17. Now that my Mephibosheth story was in 2 Samuel chapter 9. All of that chapter was about him. Elijah's story is in 1 Kings 17, the first part of his favor, 1 Kings 17, 2 to 6. He had favor with God to send him meals through ravens. I mean, God, you know, cared about this man so much that he would send him meals. That's favor from the Lord. The whole land had a famine going, no rain, but God was sending Elijah meals through ravens. Also in 1 Kings 19, verses 5 and 8, angel of the Lord came to feed him. My goodness. Fed by ravens, fed by angels, because the favor of God that was upon him. You know, may our lives generate this kind of favor with God for angelic visitations. And to top it all, in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 and 11, we know that he went up in a chariot of fire to heaven. My goodness, the glorious departure. May we also experience the same. We counted worthy, Jesus said, that we may stand before the Son of Man. And this man got tremendous favor to go to heaven with a chariot of fire. May we also have a glorious departure with Christ at the time of the rapture. May we be among that number in Jesus' name. Elijah was a man highly favored of God. We talked about the Shunammite woman. In 2 Kings chapter 8, verses 1 to 6, she found favor in the eyes of the king when she returned after 7 years of being away. And she got back her house, her land, all the fruits that the land had produced for those 7 years that she was away. And our prayer is that all of us will obtain favor from the Lord to cause us to recover all that we may have lost. May you obtain the favor of the Lord to return to you, cause you to recover all that you may have lost over the years. And there is a promise in Joel chapter 2, verses 25 to 27. I will restore unto you the years that you have lost, that the locust, the caterpillar, the canker worm, and the palmer worm have eaten. The Lord said, I will restore to you. May we receive this kind of favor from the Lord. We talked about the Jews that were in captivity, both in the time of Ezra and in the time of Nehemiah, and how they received favor before the government of their day and the kings. The Jews received favor from King Darius. He gave commandment that they should go and build. Nothing should hinder them. Both in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra chapter 6 verses 1 to 12. Ezra, even from Ezra chapter 1 verses 1 to 4. Cyrus begin to speak about the things that God had put in his heart to do for the Jews. And then we see also in Nehemiah chapter 2 verses 1 to 9. He also got favor from the king that was there at his time, Artaxerxes. And may the Lord cause us to have this kind of favor before kings. And I declare, and I believe I remember declaring this yesterday, that any petition that we have made to the government, that you will receive sudden approval. You know, because some of us are from Africa and different places, you know, there's always this petition for migration, for visas and things like that. You know, these people obtained favor from the government of their day. May you also obtain favor, you and your loved ones, for whatever petition it is that you are believing God for. Praise the Lord. And I remember also that the Lord raised up these kings even to favor them. Amen. Praise the Lord. We talked about Esther. She was a slave girl but suddenly found favor, and she was promoted to be the queen. And not only that, at a time when they needed something from the king, she obtained favor from the king's stretching out a scepter to her. Esther chapter 2, verses 9 through about 17, and then Esther chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. We see that she obtained tremendous favor, was chosen. She became the chosen one. May the Lord grant us this kind of favor, favor of the king's scepter. When she stood before the king, you know, the king said, anything you want to the half of the kingdom will be granted you. Wow. May you obtain this kind of favor with the Lord. We talk about the Jews in Psalm 44 verses 1 and 3. Bible says they found favor with God through the oath, because of the oath that God had made to Abraham to give them the land of Canaan. And God promised it to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to their seed. And they received it. They obtained the land, we are told, not by their own power or their own prowess, but by the favor of God. And I pray that you may receive favor of the Lord also to obtain some real estate. If you are interested in that, he can give you favor too. Tap into these anointings and these favors and blessings that we read in these stories of these folks. Praise the Lord. Then we talk about Daniel, who was a man that was greatly favored in the generation, in his generation and before kings. You know, he served with many kings and multiple kings, and in each time he had favor. He received tremendous favor. Daniel chapter 1 verse 9, first of all, when he asked favor to separate himself from eating the diet that was prescribed to them, which he didn't want to defile himself with, chose his own diet for himself and his friends, and he got favor. We're told that God gave him favor and tender love before the prince of the eunuchs, and they granted him his wishes. And they turned out to actually look better than the others. And they are also in Daniel chapter 2, verses 48 to 49. After that, he had not only revealed the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, but given the interpretation, the king promoted him to come and be above all of the presidents, all of the rulers, all of the judges in the land. The king promoted Daniel over all of them, and the great promotion came to him. Praise the Lord. But Daniel also, we talked about, he remembered his friends and he recommended them also for promotion. These were the friends that stood with him in prayer during the time that they were petitioning God to give them an answer to the dream, so that they would not be perishing along with the other wise men of Babylon. And he remembered his friends, recommended them for promotion as well. And I declare unto you that the Lord will also give you promotion. Hallelujah. Psalm 75 verses 6 and 7 says, promotion does not come from, you know, this place or that place or the other place, but we know it comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. And when God promotes you, whom God sets up, no man can put down. Hallelujah. And we pray that you will receive this kind of favor from the Lord. And if you believe in any of these things as we are going along, you can claim them for yourself simply by saying amen. Put it in the amen in the chat room as well. You know, God is the judge, we're told in Psalm 75, verse 7. He can put down and he can set up. And there is nothing anybody can do about it. And if the Lord chooses to set you up, nobody can put you down. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, tremendous favor in the lives of all these people. Then we talk about Zechariah and Elizabeth. couple that feared the Lord and walked in righteousness and the uprightness of their heart, but were, they did not have a child. I call them parents in waiting. But all of a sudden, they received favor from the Lord. And at the end of it, they brought forth a mighty, mighty man of God in John the Baptist. Praise the Lord. Well, I declare that couples and those who are parents in waiting receive favor from the Lord this year. Them also to bear children, godly seed unto the Lord. That's the favor that we see in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 6. I should also mention that Daniel was called greatly beloved. Also in Daniel chapter 10, verse 11, the Lord called him greatly beloved. And I pray that you will obtain favor with your superiors. Daniel had favor with his superiors. And also that the Lord will speak of you as being greatly beloved of God. Glory to God. And may all the parents in waiting receive favor of the Lord this coming year. Hold their own children in their hands. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 6. They received that visitation from the angel of the Lord. We talked about Mary. Mary also was a young lady that found favor before the Lord. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 33. She was handpicked by the Lord to fulfill the promise that God had given way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. That she would be the one, to carry that seed of the woman. Also, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 prophesied it. He said, that the Lord will have a virgin that will conceive and bring forth a child, and he will be called Emmanuel, being God with us. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7 also talked about his coming, prophesied it. And all of this, Mary was the chosen one. And may you also receive favor from the Lord to fulfill your God-given unique assignment. Is the prayer for the blessing that came upon Mary. She received grace to carry out this mission. It was unique. Nobody else was chosen to do it. And whatever the Lord has chosen you to accomplish and to do in this world, may the favor of God be upon you to accomplish it in Jesus' name. Then we talk about Simeon. Simeon was a man that was devout. We are told in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 32. He was a devout man. He was praying and everything. And in his heart, he really wanted to see the Lord. And the Lord granted him favor. It was told to him of the Holy Ghost that he would not die until he had seen what they called at the time the Lord's Christ. It was the coming of Christ at that time. And this man believed the Lord. And one day when he went in the temple, as his manner was, Joseph and Mary came in with the little boy for to dedicate him. After 1 week of being born, they brought him in. And this young boy, as he was brought in, Simeon looked upon him. And the Holy Ghost said, "There you have it." And he picked up the boy and said, "Now, O Lord, my eyes have seen your salvation. I can now depart in peace." The Lord granted him favor. He would not die until he saw the coming of the Christ at that time. And I pray that we also, all of us, as we are looking and expecting, this man was expecting that in his heart. As we are looking and expecting the coming of the Lord in our time also, may we also be granted favor to be among those that will experience the seeing of the coming of the Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this man, he experienced that favor. Praise the Lord. And, God from time to time would, help us to see these stories in the Bible. If you look through these stories in the Bible and you continue to see what God did for people, I mean, you'd be amazed. And what he did for those people, he can do also for us, you know. So, you know, there was not only Simeon, but then there was also this woman that was called Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel, we're told. She was also of a great age. And she'd been like that. She served God with prayers and fasting night and day. And she likewise, at the same time also that Simeon had that experience with the Christ, she also was in the temple at the time. And she also, came in at that instant and saw the child and gave praise to the Lord. And she spoke of this Christ. She actually taught the people, said, this is the Christ that is coming. You know, spoke of him to all them that look for redemption in Israel. I mean, Jerusalem. Look, I tell you what, this young child is the Redeemer that is coming. She was favored to do that. May we receive favor also and grace to be effective witnesses for Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, and lastly, yesterday we talked about Jesus. Jesus himself, who had increased in favor with God and man, according to Luke chapter 2, verse 52. He began to grow in favor. And finally, you know, one day he was introduced to the world as the beloved Son of God. In Luke chapter 3, verses 21 to 22, we are told that God himself introduced him with a voice from heaven and said, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. My goodness, my prayer is that we all, myself, number one, will hear that kind of commendation from the Lord that says, you are my beloved Son, you are my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. Not just pleased, but well pleased. And that was the commendation that Christ, you know, now 30 years of age, received from the Father as he was ready to step out. And I should mention, this was not part of the lesson yesterday, but I should mention something about the Christ. Coming out of the water, being baptized of John, the heavens opening up and God giving him that commendation. Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You might want to consider that at this point, we don't know what Christ had really done. There's only one thing we heard of him before then, at the age of 12, when they had gone somewhere to Jerusalem and they left and he was not in the company and they went and looked for him, found him among the doctors, age 12, and then nothing again that we heard from him. So we don't know what he was doing or not doing, but this commendation that came of the Father, you might say, was not because Christ had done any miracles. Because later on we were told that this was the beginning of miracles that Christ did publicly at the marriage in Cana of Galilee. So maybe he hadn't done anything. Maybe he was just being a carpenter or whatever, you know, but he was submissive to the will of the Father. And this pronunciation, you are my beloved Son, did not come because of signs and wonders that Christ had done. We don't know that he had done anything at that time. But he came because of who he was and how he had submitted himself to the Father. That was the greatest thing. It wasn't because of the miracles later. It wasn't, God did not wait until after he did all the miracles to tell him, you are my beloved Son. At this time, no record of any miracles yet. Yet God told him, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It was in the Christ, it was in the mind of Jesus to carry out the will of the Father, and he submitted himself to that will. He humbled himself. I mean, the Father said, look, you're going to go through this. And for 30 years, you know, to fulfill the culture, the, you know, custom of the people to, you know, be 30 years old to be a rabbi in Israel, otherwise they wouldn't even respect you. And he went through all of that, you know, and also the priests, you know, there are many things about that. Also, they have to be of that kind of age. And Christ was ordained to be that as well in Israel. And God gave him this commendation. So let's think about that in our hearts. You know, we were received, of God as his sons and daughters, not because of great miracles that we do, but because of the obedience that is in our heart and the love. Jesus was obedient to the Father, was willing to go through stuff that he shouldn't have to go through. I mean, debasing stuff. I mean, shameful stuff, you know. Came and be born in a stable. That's number one. Stable with horse manure and different things around him. Smelly stuff. You know, that's how he was born. And he, you know, I mean, he went through all those things most of the time. No recognition whatsoever. For 30 years, he also had that patience. He waited patiently. You know, he could have been so excited to jump out and start doing things before the time, but he waited patiently, and the Lord rewarded him mightily. He made a proclamation. Everybody, in another place, he said, "This is my beloved son. Hear ye him." Praise the Lord. So the blessing, the favor that was upon Christ through his obedience, may we also receive the same as we obey the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now let's talk about the early church. The early church in Acts chapter 2. Now I finished the review of yesterday. The early church in Acts chapter 2 verses 46 to 47. We are told that they had favor with all the people. You know, going in and out and so on and having favor among the people. Well, I pray that the Lord will give you favor everywhere you go. May we receive this kind of favor everywhere we go and also among the people. Favor everywhere in Jesus' name. Now, this was not only favor with God. This was favor before man. They were favored. I mean, people were just, you were kind to them. People were, you know, honored them. And in fact, you know, people even were, I mean, sort of, you know, afraid of them. You know, they didn't dare just care to join them anyhow. They were kind of scared of these people. Say, my goodness, these people, they have power. If you lie to the Holy Ghost, you might just fall down and die. You know, and people were, you know, I mean, they had honor. And God gave them favor, we are told, among the people. Favor everywhere. Let's talk about Philip. Philip in Acts chapter 8 and verse 39. You know, Philip was a man. First of all, the story of this Philip. This is not Philip the apostle. This is Philip the deacon that was chosen, you know, as one of the people to be the deacon. You know, when the apostle said, look, you know, we really can't, you know, be here serving tables and so forth. We got to give ourselves to prayer and to the word of God. And they said, look, why don't you choose yourself seven men? This was in Acts chapter 6. Seven men are full of the Holy Ghost and honest and so on, that we can give them this duty. But we ourselves continually must give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And we are told that it pleased the multitude to choose Stephen, the man full of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and five others. So this was this Philip that went down, this same Philip that went down to Samaria and preached a powerful, powerful, you know, powerful messages he preached. And the people gave their lives to Christ. Demons cried out and everything. It was a great revival. It turned that whole city, Samaria, for God. And this same Philip had favor, tremendous favor with God. He experienced something unique and extraordinary. Even in the midst of all that revival, Holy Ghost told him, get out of there and go down somewhere. That almost seemed like nothing, but he obeyed. I mean, he obeyed and he left. And he went out in the desert, left all that happening. See, back in the day, they were not, you know, desirous of vain glory. They did not need to be in the center of the attention. In fact, when things were going like that, he sent for Peter and the rest of the disciples to come, or the apostles to come and pray for these people. He was already having a great revival, but he stayed in his lane and recognized the ministry of the apostles also, called them in. Hey, it's all for the glory of God. He wasn't trying to do anything, take any glory, but God honored him. God told him, okay, now your role here is done. Go down over here to the desert. And he went, not knowing where what it was all about. But I guarantee you that after he met the eunuch, spoke with him and everything, he experienced supernatural transportation. In Acts chapter 8, verse 39, we are told that Philip experienced something, you know, that we don't know that even the apostles experienced individually, except for one time when they were all in the boat, and the boat was immediately on the other side. But this one man, Philip, he experienced this individual bodily transportation. My goodness. Think about it. Here's what he said in Acts chapter 8. When after he had preached to this man the scripture that he found him reading and preached Christ to him and so forth, then they came to a place, they saw water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me that I might be baptized?" Philip said unto him, "Well, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So they stopped the chariot and they went down the water, and Philip baptized the man. And when they were come out of the water, we are told in Acts chapter 8 and verse 39, that the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And the next thing, at one time from around Samaria and the desert in those areas, now he's found in Azotus. Don't know how far away that is. And it was completely in the other place. And the Spirit of the Lord, bodily immediate transportation that Philip experienced. That's tremendous favor. He didn't need to travel in a chariot or car or camel or anything they had in those days. God supernaturally transported him from one place to another. Now that's power with God. And he was just a deacon. He wasn't even one of the apostles. And but he stayed in his lane. He did not grumble. He did not jostle for position. Now, some people, when they are appointed to lower level duties in the ministry or church these days, they envy those who are on stage because they want to be like that. Well, stay with your lane. Stay in your lane. Stay in your assignment. Philip did. Stayed in his assignment, but that did not prevent him from doing great miracles. The title was irrelevant. He knew who he was. He did his day job as serving the tables and serving the women and so forth. And then later on, when he was done with that, he went out and did mighty things. So did Stephen. We're told in Acts chapter 6, verse 8, that Stephen went out and did mighty miracles among the people, not on stage, but among the people. So whether you are on stage or not, you can have the same type of experience like Stephen and Philip to go out among the multitude and do miracles, signs and wonders. It's not just for being on stage. And it's not only when you have the microphone in your hand. Some people, jostle for that position because they think that's where it's at. It had nothing to do with that. These people were not called pastors or apostles or this and that, but they knew in their heart, well, I'm a deacon, so I'll do it. They did the job, but that didn't prevent them. They knew also their position in Christ, and they went out and did great miracles. Acts 6 and 8 and Acts 8 and 6 showed how Stephen did great miracles among the people, and how even Philip also wrought great miracles and turned the whole city around for Christ. And may we have this kind of power and favor with the Lord, no matter what title you have or don't have, that you may do these same things that Stephen and Philip were able to accomplish in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Peter was a man that found favor with God too. And God sent an angel of the Lord to deliver him from what we might call an impending execution order. He was put in prison by Herod. Herod at that time, we are told in Acts chapter 12, grabbed a hold of James and killed him suddenly, and before the church got wind of it, killed him. And everybody was happy, the people that hated these, this new way. And when Herod saw that, some of these scribes and so forth were happy, he thought to put his hand on Peter as well, grab Peter and throw him in prison, supposing that, they had this feast, maybe unleavened bread or whatever they had at that time, to bring him out and kill him before the people. But the church heard of it and were praying. And the rest of the story. Peter received a tremendous deliverance from the hand of Herod and the people that were waiting for his execution by the hand of the angel of the Lord. At night, the angel of the Lord visited him, and the chains fell off his feet, and the gates opened unto them of their own accord, and he went out of that place. My goodness. And Lord, I pray that the Lord will deliver us and our loved ones from all the plans of the enemy to kill us. May the Lord deliver you and your loved ones. Anytime the enemy plans to to kill you, it's not going to work. According to Isaiah chapter 54, and verse 17, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And everything that the enemy plans will not work against you. Job chapter 5 and verse 12 says, the Lord will disappoint all the devices of the wicked, all their plans, the plans of Herod. He was disappointed, and they came there. They found that Peter was gone. How could you be gone? And we locked him up, put him in chains, put soldiers to guide him, to guard him. And yet he was gone. Praise the Lord. The Lord delivered him. That's right. Because the Lord is able to do that. Now, all the plans of the enemy, devices that they devise against you, the Lord frustrate them all. They say their hands will not be able to perform any of their enterprise, according to Job chapter 5 and verse 12. Also, according to Numbers 23:23, there shall be no divination or enchantment that will work against you. No matter what they are planning, you'll be clean escaped. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. That's how Peter escaped. You talk about Paul and Silas also. They themselves escaped from prison, not quite as dramatic as Peter's case, but the angel of the Lord came and broke their chains, but they remained there, and they had yet a role to do to get the jailer to be saved and his house. In Acts chapter 16, verses 25 to 26, when Paul and Silas were in prison, thrown into prison for, something they had done, cast out the spirit of divination from this damsel. And when all the masters of that woman that made money out of her divination conspired against them, got them accused of one thing or the other, they threw them into prison. And at midnight, we're told that Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises, and the rest of the prisoners heard them. They were not doing it silently or ashamed of their faith. They sang praises. And rather than complaining that, why are we in this slammo? Am I not preaching the gospel? Why am I here? They gladly rejoice that they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ. And the Lord also sent an angel to deliver them. Break those chains, the angel did. Now, I guarantee you, nobody like the angel of the Lord that knows how to bust people out of prison. He can do it too. But in this case, they just stayed right there. And the jailer, when he saw that the doors of the prison were shattered, chains had fallen off, he wanted to kill himself, because he knew if you let go your prisoners, you are a dead man, as good as dead. And they told him, do yourself no harm, we're right here. My goodness. And when he saw that, he said, what shall I do? Receive, they didn't even need to preach to him anymore. immediately he recognized that there is a power that is greater than the Roman power. What shall I do that I may receive this kind of, you know, freedom that you have to be recognized by the Lord like this? He said, well, you know, you can receive freedom from your sin too, and you'll be saved and your household. And they went and ministered to his house, and they were all saved. The Lord delivered Paul and Silas also in that experience. Now, there are many of us that the devil try to put imprisonments around us, and every impossible situation that you can't get out of there puts you, locks you up, gates and bars. You know, Bible calls it gates of brass and bars of iron to shackle you in, to make sure that you don't go anywhere. Well, may the Lord grant us deliverance, and everybody deliverance from this kind of imprisonments. Hallelujah. God wants you to shine. The devil tries to clip your wings, try to put you in prison, try to lock you up, gates of brass and bars of iron. The Bible says the Lord has broken those gates, cut us under those bars, and set you free. May we receive that kind of power and favor from God to set us free from anything that the enemy will plan, in Jesus' name. There was a man called Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 to 4. He was actually, you know, not exactly a Jew, but, you know, it was from the Romans and so forth. But he was a, you know, soldier over many. But he was a man that, you know, kind of feared God, and he served God day and night with prayers. He also did some few things, you know, that was good and so forth in the nation. But most importantly, what was recorded of him was that he was a man that did alms and also served God in steadfastness with his prayers, you know, and so on. He was a man of position, but he was kind, but he prayed all the time, and God favored him. He was one of the chosen ones that will be used as an example that the gospel can go to the Gentiles as well. That was where it started. God handpicked this Cornelius and his family. In fact, the angel of the Lord visited him and told him, send for such and such a man in such and such a place. He will come and he will show you the way of salvation. My goodness. That story also tells us that, look, we who have received the truth, we are partners with God in bringing in others. It's not the angels that will preach this message. Well, maybe later in the Great Tribulation, they might do that. But now, we must be the ones. Even the angel of the Lord might direct someone. Why couldn't that angel just preach the message to the man already? That's not their role. So he directed the man to call for Peter to preach to him the way of truth. And we are the ones that must enlighten the eyes of the people through the preaching of the gospel. We're the ones. The angels are not going to do it. At least not at this time. You know, so we must be the ones. And Peter came. And of course, before Peter came, you might know the story, how Peter had to be taught of the Lord not to consider anything unclean that God had cleansed. And because they used to think that all the Gentiles were unclean. So God showed him many visions, a couple of visions, and he learned that. And when he got to the house of Cornelius, while he was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell upon Cornelius and his household. Even before Peter finished preaching. You know, look, God can do any of these things. He can give the Holy Ghost to the Gentiles just like he gave to the Jews. And they said, wow. You know, now I know that God is not a respecter of persons, but in every nation, anyone that feareth the Lord is acceptable of him. He said, now that we have seen that these people have received the Holy Ghost like we did, let's cast away all those division in our minds. And the Holy Ghost came upon Cornelius, and his household was saved. Now, this was favor that he received from God because of his prayers and his good works. You know, so these things have rewards. when you are constantly praying, we saw Simeon and Anna that were constantly praying in the temple serving the Lord. They saw the Christ. And we see this Cornelius constantly praying and doing good works. And he received tremendous blessing for his whole house to be saved and receive the Holy Ghost, even though they didn't know anything about it. You know, God found a way to get them to hear the gospel and to receive the Holy Ghost. May you receive this kind of favor and rewards from God for your steadfastness. Now, let us not be weary in well-doing. You know, sometimes we're doing some stuff and then we just say, well, you know, nobody joined me, and then you'll be weary. Don't worry about that. You just continue to do what you're doing. Praise the Lord. You know, so this man, Cornelius, he was serving God with faithfulness in his prayers, and God rewarded him. Hallelujah. And you, likewise, may the Lord reward you with this kind of blessing, salvation to your household and everything. Hallelujah. You know, everything that God has planned, he can bring to be fruitful in your life if we just stay steadfast. This man served the Lord steadfastly, we are told, steadfastly with prayers and with offerings, of goodwill that he did alms to the people. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Verse 10 says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those of the household of faith. And Cornelius, he was good, was doing good, giving alms and helping the people and doing the best he can and praying. God saw all of that, and one day he was rewarded. The Lord visited him and his household. Salvation came to his house. Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were the first fruits of the Gentiles, even at that time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, let me bring, you know, all these stories that we have heard. Let's bring it home for us today. You know, today, you know, let's make some prayers and some other declarations from some scriptures for our lives. Now, over and above all the prayers that we have made concerning all the people that we read their stories, for each of those stories, we've made a prayer out of their particular, you know, circumstance and the things they receive from God. But here are some promises and some scriptures and prayers that I also want to call out for us today. Praise the Lord. There's some declaration that Job made, you know, and some visitation, you know, that he declared about. I preserved him. So I want to use that as prayer for us today. In the book of Job, chapter 10 and verse 12. Job chapter 10 and verse 12. You know, here is a declaration and we'll make it a prayer that Job said. He said, thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation have preserved my spirit. Ha! Hallelujah. Well, let's make this a prayer. Hallelujah. Let's make it a prayer. Let's call upon the Lord today to grant us life and favor. Glory to God. Life and favor. And that his visitation will preserve our spirit. May the Lord grant us life. May the Lord grant us favor. Remember, in his presence is fullness of joy. And his right hand are pleasures evermore. And the Lord said, you know, he said, look, you show us even the path of life. Praise the Lord. The Lord show us, grant us life and favor, cause his visitation upon us to preserve our spirit even in this time, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalm 5 and verse 12. For thou, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor will thou compass him about as with a shield. Now remember, the title of this mini-series you know, is blessed and highly favored before God and man, you know. And so, well, this is a declaration and a prayer. The Lord will bless the righteous with favor. All you got to do is walk in uprightness and in right standing with the Lord. Not self-righteousness, but right standing with the Lord, according to the word of the Lord. He will bless the righteous, and he will surround him with favor as with a shield. In Jesus' name, amen. May that be your portion and mine as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 30 and verse 7. Powerful declaration here that the psalmist made about how the Lord made him strong. Let's read it and let's claim it. Psalm 30 and verse 7 says, "The Lord, by thy favor, O Lord, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong." Hallelujah. May the Lord made your mountain, you know, to stand strong. You know, the things that, you know, are important to you in your life, may the favor of God be upon them all and cause them to stand strong in Jesus' name. Amen. Favor everywhere. And here's another one. This is perhaps the best of it all. Psalm 102 and verse 13. "Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time to favor her. Yea, the set time has come." So there is a set time in God's mind. "And I declare unto you this day by the word of the Lord that God has arisen to favor his people, because the set time for this favor has come." We've been talking about it, you know, for about a year or so, but the time is here. Hallelujah. The time to favor his people has come. Glory to God. And during that time, my goodness, all the things that are in God's heart towards his people, he'll begin to do. And he's teaching us how to be able to retain these blessings. They're coming. And pour them out. How do you retain them? This is why God's been showing us all these scriptures, how we can continue to, you know, declare this word of the Lord for ourselves. Psalm 106 and verse 4. "Remember me, O Lord, with thy favor, that thou bearest unto thy people." Now, that's a prayer. We're reading to you scriptures of prayer, of favor, and blessings. "Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people." Psalm 106 and verse 4. What about Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 4? You know, it talked about, look, if you search for the wisdom and the word of the Lord, he said, "So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Yeah, that goes right with this message. God wants us to have favor both in the sight of God and in the sight of man. What do you need to do to do that? Well, read it from the beginning of the chapter in Proverbs 3. "My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee." So keeping the word of the Lord, doing his will and his commandments will add length of days and long life and peace unto us. Hallelujah. And he talked about, you know, mercy and truth. Don't forsake them. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tables of your heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. May the Lord give us this understanding and this favor in all things as we keep his word in Jesus' name. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 2. "A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord." Now, that's a point blank promise. What does it mean to be good then? One time, one man came to Jesus and said, "Good master." And Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good? There's none but good, but one. And he began to tell him, you know, how can you really be counted to be good? One other person asked Jesus, he said, what shall I do, you know, to be counted as doing the works of God? I said, well, believe on him whom he has sent. Now, all of these scriptures tell us that it is God in us that makes us good, not we ourselves. And in the keeping of the word of God is where we are considered good. But a good man will obtain favor of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 2. Favor of the Lord is promised for you in your house. Favor of the Lord is promised for you in your life concerning you and your children. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 35 says, the king's favor, hallelujah, is towards a wise servant. Well, you know, who is then is that wise servant, saith the Lord? Huh? Who is that wise servant that will receive favor of the Lord? Remember, the king's favor is towards a wise servant. Proverbs 14 and 35. But who then is that wise servant? Well, let's read how Jesus said it. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 42. Who then is that wise and faithful servant? Whom his Lord has appointed to give meat to his household in due season. Who is that servant? Well, blessed is that servant, he said. Blessed is that servant whom when his Lord shall come, shall find him so doing. Of a truth, he said, I say unto you that he will make that servant a ruler over all his goods. But if that servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drunk and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him. That's right. And at an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him asunder and will appoint his portion with the hypocrites and the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew the Lord's will and prepared not himself. So you know the Lord is coming, but you don't prepare yourself. Neither did according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But even he that knew not will not get away scot-free. Because ignorance is not an excuse. It's right here in the word of God. Yeah. Well, if you don't know, but yet you did things that are worthy of stripes, well, that one may receive fewer stripes. But the one that knew, see, and I pray that the Lord will not hold these things against us. Because every day for over 2 years, we come out here, we lay out the word of God day after day after day. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. So we have no excuse. May this word not be a witness against us, but it will be an empowerment for us to grow into the nature of the Christ. But who is that servant who will be termed wise and faithful that the Lord's favor may be upon him? He is the one that will give the meat to the household in due season. He's the one that will be found doing whatever duty God has put in his hands. He will be that wise and faithful servant. And there's a blessing proclaimed for the wise and faithful servant. Proverbs 14 and 35 says, the king's favor will be upon him. Now, Proverbs 16 and verse 15. In the light of the king's countenance, his life, and the favor of the king is as good and precious as a cloud of the latter rain. Now, when they wait for that latter rain, the planting rain is the time during which they do plow, plant, and do all of that. And then they do all that they can, but they must wait for that harvesting rain. And they wait and wait and wait. Sometimes it looks like it's not coming. But the moment a little cloud of his shows up, they know how to discern the face of the skies. They knew it. And the moment that cloud of the latter rain comes, oh my goodness. It's such a blessing. It's a joy. It's a rejoicing. Well, that's how the favor of God will be upon you, he said. It's like the cloud of the latter rain. And this is a prayer that we want to pray for ourselves today. Jesus said, pray ye therefore and watch. Watch and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all the evil that's coming upon this world. To be a faithful servant, that we enjoy the favor of the Lord, to escape the great tribulation and be translated to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. And some people say, well, there's no such thing as translation. Well, be my guest. If you want to stay here, stay here. But Jesus said we should pray that we may escape. And God doesn't just put carrots in front of us, dangle it, and then pull it away. Doesn't do that. If he tells you to pray that you may obtain something, it's because that something is real. Pray that you may escape. The escape is real. And to stand before the Son of Man is real. And I pray for favor of the Lord as we walk with God. I'm going to end this lesson here today with a prayer. A prayer that's more like a declaration also. That all of these blessings that we saw in the lives of these people will come upon you, overtake you in Jesus' name. The blessing of Enoch, glory to God, wherein he had favor, found favor with God. He pleased God and he was translated. The blessing of Enoch be upon you in Jesus' name. The blessing of Noah, wherein he found favor with God and also walked with God in his generation. He had power even over the animals. And he was the one that was saved. Everybody else destroyed. But he and his family were saved. That blessing and that favor be upon you, upon all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Others may be destroyed. You and your household will be saved. Think about that. You know, you be the one. If only one person be saved, you be that one. If only one person will escape, you be that one. But Noah, he was that one. And he escaped to his house. The blessing of Abraham be upon you. The blessing to receive favor from God. Such a blessing till this day was put upon Abraham. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And because of his obedience, God said, I will surely bless thee with a blessing that cannot be removed. The blessing of Isaac be upon you also. Isaac was a man that was so blessed, you know, when he did, you know, his farming and everything, he was just increasing. He was so blessed that even the Philistines envied him. The blessing of the Lord be upon you. Bless the work of your hands so mightily that others will even envy the goodness of the Lord. The blessing of Jacob. Tremendous insight and inspiration from the Lord to obtain what was stolen from him and cause a transfer of wealth. The blessing to receive favor from God in angelic visitation. The recognition to be called the Prince of God. Those kind of blessings be with you in Jesus' name. The blessing of Joseph. Who God, you know, he found favor and God turned all the would-be destiny destroyers in his life, turned them around to destiny helpers, willingly or unwillingly. They moved him closer to his destiny. That kind of blessing and favor, favor everywhere. Whether he was in prison, favor. Whether he was in slavery, favor. Favor everywhere. That blessing be upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. The blessing of Moses, that had favor with God, caused him to experience, you know, God face to face. That blessing and favor be with you. The blessing of Naphtali, be with you. It was said of Naphtali in Deuteronomy 33 and 23, that the Naphtali shall be satisfied with favor. I'm full of the blessing of the Lord. I declare that blessing upon you and yours in Jesus' name. The blessing of Gideon, that he found favor and God you know, recognize him as a mighty man of valor. Even though he doubted himself, God said, you are great. You are a man of favor, a man of valor. That blessing be upon you in Jesus' name. The blessing of Samuel that made him to find favor both with the Lord and man be with you. The blessing of David, called the sure mercies of David. How God handpicked him, called him a man after his heart, said, I have put my anointing oil upon him, and my hand is upon him. My hand will be against his enemies, and I will call him my firstborn, and I will exalt him above the kings of the earth. Oh, my goodness. And God couldn't stop, went on and on and on and on about this David. That kind of blessing and favor be upon you and yours in Jesus' name. Amen. The blessing of Mephibosheth that caused him to experience a quantum leap. Ha! Glory to God. From nobody to sitting on the table with princes. That blessing be upon you in Jesus' name. And that blessing be upon your children for the good works that you are doing today. The blessing came upon Mephibosheth because of what Jonathan, his father, had done. The blessing of Elijah that caused him to experience tremendous visitation and preservation. When everybody else was suffering, Elijah was preserved. God would send him ravens, angels, you know, multiplication of food and different things. That blessing be upon you. And more importantly, he found favor to be carried away to heaven without seeing death at that time. That favor and that blessing be upon you and us, all of us, to experience a glorious departure with Christ at the time of the rapture. The blessing of the Shunammite woman, favor to obtain the grace from God to recover all that ALL that you may have lost. Joel 2, 25 and 27. The blessing that God put upon the Jews to find favor before governments. And you also receive favor before governments. Whether it was in time of Nehemiah, Ezra, and so forth, they received favor. Even Esther received favor before the king. May the Lord grant you favor. Any petition that is waiting before the government. Some of you have visas that are pending for your children, your parents, your this and that, and what have you, or even for yourself. Petitions that you may be petitioning the government, may you receive favor of the Lord. Favor of the Lord. The Bible says that the children of Israel, they got the land through favor. May the land, the Lord give you favor to obtain real estate as well. Praise the Lord. The blessing of Daniel that caused him to have favor with his superiors. Hallelujah. God give you favor with your superiors. Favor for sudden promotion. Hallelujah. And when the Lord promotes you, remember those who are with you in the trenches as well. The blessing, that favor, that call, God called him. You are greatly favored. The angel of the Lord visited him and gave him tremendous understanding. May you receive that favor from the Lord as well. The blessing of Zacharias and Elizabeth, parents in waiting at the time, waiting. But the Lord suddenly visited them, and lo and behold, they had children as well. The blessing of Mary, that God handpicked her and gave her the grace to carry out this unique assignment. That blessing and that favor be upon you for your God-given assignment in Jesus' name. The blessing that God gave to Simeon, a man that was devout, and Anna, the prophetess, devout in their ways and praying, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And God said, you will not die until you see the Christ. May we receive that, O Lord, I pray. In my generation, Lord, that I will see the coming of the Lord. We have waited for generations. We have waited, Lord, since the 70s. We have been talking about the coming of the Lord. We have been expecting and waiting, O Lord. We have been through the wilderness. We've been through everything. But Lord, may we experience it. Pass us not by, O Lord, in this generation. Let me and my folks, everyone that's here on this line with me today, and by extension, your loved ones and your families as well, and all the children of God that are waiting patiently, may we see the salvation of the Lord. even in this generation, like Simeon did, in Jesus' name. The blessing even of Jesus the Christ that caused him to be recognized. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The grace to humble himself, even though he was, say ye yourself, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. That blessing to humble ourselves like that, and favor from God to be recognized as his beloved children, and in whom he is well pleased. May we receive that favor from the Lord. The blessing, that favor that Philip and Stephen received to go out and do great things among the people, even though they were not counted as the elite in the ministry in those days. They were relegated, sort of, to the background, yet they received tremendous power from God and went out and did great things. The blessing to receive deliverance, Peter received it, Paul and Silas received it. These blessings be upon you, upon your loved ones, upon all of us, in Jesus' name. The blessing of Cornelius to receive salvation for his entire family because of the good works and prayer that he maintained. These blessings be upon everyone in Jesus' name. Now, O Lord, bless your people with these blessings that we have called out today. Let the goodness and the favor of God overtake everyone. Remember, if thou shalt diligently keep the word of the Lord thy God, Moses said, which I put before you today, he said, then these blessings shall overtake you. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, he began to tell them of all the blessings that will overtake them if that they shall obey the voice of the Lord and hearken to his words. The first 14 verses of Deuteronomy chapter 28 calls out all the blessings. The Lord, he said, shall establish you as a holy people unto himself. The Lord will command a blessing upon thee in your storehouses. Hallelujah. The Lord will bless your basket, you know, bread basket and your storehouse. Have enough for now, have plenty for later. When you go out, you'll be blessed. When you come in, you will be blessed. Your enemies that come up against you, they'll be spitting before your face. They come against you one way and flee seven ways. The Lord will command a blessing upon your storehouses and all that you set your house to do. Glory to God. Favor of the Lord, even in the work of your hands. Shall bless you in the land that the Lord hath put you, establish you unto himself. You know, he said, the Lord will make you plenteous in goods. The fruit of thy body, we talk about waiting, parents in waiting. The fruit of your body, the Lord will establish it upon you. He will open up his good treasure unto you, the heaven to give you rain and so forth, and to bless you all the work of your hands. You'll be a lender and not a borrower. You'll be the head and not the tail. You'll be above only and never beneath. But all of this, if only that you will hearken unto the commands of the Lord, commandments of the Lord thy God, which I set before thee this day, to do and to observe them. Praise the Lord. Thou shalt not go aside from any of these words, on the left or to the right, and the Lord will remember you for good. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.